Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Moreni Kerr. Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to another episode of Bold Women on the Move. Yeah, it's been a very intense and engaging conversation about demystifying, unpacking, understanding, and relating to the New Zealand education system. And I'll continue to say this for the benefit of those of us at home, that this is a podcast. One thing I love about the podcast is you can pause and you can stop and come back to it. You can rewind, because these are important information that will keep us informed, you know, to make informed decisions for our children. So we're going to continue that conversation about the educational system. We've talked about the hard part of our support. We're going to quickly wrap up in the next few minutes. So, happy listening. You're listening to Bold Women on the Move, kindly brought to you with support from the Ratu Foundation and Ministry of Ethnic Communities. Listen to Bold Women on the Move wherever you're going. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and plains.org.nz. So you get the support you need. Now let's quickly see if we can move a bit faster.
So much in this topic, but
we've covered quite a lot. Now I'm aware that in New Zealand there are I began to hear about the phrase desal system, and then I started hearing about the phrase special character school, and then I started hearing about the phrase private schools. So could you break it down? No, how is this New Zealand? Like back in Nigeria, we just have two systems, private and public. So, you know, if you're going into the private school, you know, and then if you're going into the public school, you know, you know, understand. And I know that there is public schools here. So how does everything work? It looks so complex. There is public, there is private, but then there is the desal, there is the special character. How do they come up with all this?
Okay. Yeah. So a few years ago, the desal system was very important, and the desal system had nothing to do with anybody.
Okay.
All it had the reason why they had the desal system is how the government or Ministry of Education can fund the schools.
Okay.
So if you're in an area that has a very low socioeconomic groupings, so people that are unemployed or low employed, that impacts what the needs of the students are going to that school. Higher deciles at that stage are in affluent areas, you know, where the parents are pretty wealthy. So those are the two opposite areas.
Okay, so there are two distinct deciles.
No, not two. They go from a range. So from 1 to 10.
Oh, okay.
That was the desal system. That system is out, and you don't see schools talk about desals very much anymore.
Okay.
But there's still this understanding that some schools require more funding for certain things than other schools.
Okay.
So that's all that was. It was about just getting a sort of an even match of where the funding
of the
goes.
Needs for the school.
So you're not going to give the school a lot of the funding around learning and learning support and all that sort of stuff compared to this school that's the lower decile.
Okay.
I'm noticing now to your audience that I'm talking to my hands a lot. So if I'm missing information, Morenika will tell me. So that was merely what that was about. Then we go to the zones. Okay. Zones become such an important thing.
We didn't get that.
Where you live. So it's just to make sure that the schools are able to get the students in their catchment area. They are first and foremost, they are allowed to go to those schools.
Okay.
So so that it's limiting people from other catchment areas to come into the school. So you're servicing those people that are
within
there,
the zone.
Within the zone. And that's why we have the zoning areas. So what some parents, I need to back up the bus because okay. I tell you, the public system in New Zealand, education system, is good.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly agree. Yeah.
So
what is called public is good.
Any school. You can go to any school and if you know your parents are involved, your student is taking on all the opportunities available to them to those schools, in those schools, they will thrive.
Yep.
So that's one is that's just what I want to say. But there are family preferences. You do sometimes have a preference. I don't want to go to that school.
Okay, maybe the family went to the school.
So there are a whole lot of reasons of why you want to go to the school. It could be because the family has gone to that school and you'd like to go to the school. The other thing about choosing a school in New Zealand is about their subject areas. So some schools might have a really strong performing arts curriculum and you just, look, I need to get into that zone because I need to get my child in there. If you're not in that zone, you get onto, you can still apply, but you get onto what they call a ballot. Mm. Now, I remember when I first came out, I had no idea what a ballot was. But basically, you're on the list. You're on the list, and there are preferences. So first of all, the preference is those people that are in that zone, that live in that zone. Different schools have different criteria. So then it is if your sister or brother or their siblings.
To the school.
That's the next one. Then your parents. If your parents went to the school, then and children of teachers of the school can go into the school. Then the out of zoners.
Those are out of zone.
The other thing that's important as well is some schools have very strong scholarships.
Oh, okay.
So if you are really good at music, for example, and you want to get into the performing arts school, like the school that's got a strong performing arts curriculum, you can apply for this scholarship where you will get a place in that school and then a certain percentage of your tutoring and equipment is paid for by the school.
Oh, okay.
So they've got different criteria for that. And it's something I want parents to think about is about, you know, if your child's got a certain talent, where are the places that they can go?
Mm.
Also, the other thing that parents might want to choose to go out of zone is if their child has a different way of learning and seeing the world. And maybe a traditional school is not exactly where they want to go.
Oh, okay.
Then we go to the special character
schools. That's where we go.
So special characters mostly in New Zealand are around religion.
Yeah, I thought that was it. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a special character. So it means that so all the schools will have their own criteria. But generally it is about, you know, are you affiliated to this church?
But they're also public school, right?
Yes, they are public school, they're a special character.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can actually say that for you to be, yes, you're in zone, but you also need to be part of this group. So that's the religious special character. You've got other schools that are special character, like in Christchurch for some of our viewers that are in the Canterbury area. We've got a school in the centre of our city called Aotearoa.
And
that's called Discovery.
It's
Discovery. So they were two schools before the earthquake. So a lot of things changed in zones and stuff like that after the earthquakes as well. So this was two schools that came together and now they are one school in the middle of town. And their special character is just about how they set up their curriculum. And it's very much student-focused. And in that school as well, they expect the child to be a lot more independent in their learning and they expect the parents to participate very much in their child's learning.
Is that the same as Hagley College?
It's very similar to Hagley College. So Hagley College is also a special character. Because Hagley College is really special because what they have is they have your curriculum It's also a zone school. But you will have students that, yes, that just do not fit their school's character, and they might decide to apply to go to Hagley outside of that school zone.
So how about private schools?
Can I just go back to Hagley as well?
Yeah.
Because Hagley also offers for us as parents or those people that are second chance learners that didn't do well at school and that are coming back and are needing to get their NCA level one credits or NCA level. So they go there to finish those. Or they have really great for migrants in terms of language programs.
Okay.
And upskilling. So really, really got a diverse range of things that people go to them for. So, yes, do you have a look at that for us as parents as well?
Mm. And then private schools.
The private schools?
Yeah.
The private schools are very much, they are... So all these other schools are funded purely by government.
By government, okay? Yeah.
Private schools will have a percentage of their funding from government because they're still in our education system. So they still have to follow the rules and the norms of what education
they
is about.
They operate by the same curriculum
Yes, they do, but they can actually bring other curriculum in.
Okay.
So they have the international bachelor, I want to say bachelorette, but it's wrong, baccalaureate, and so it's the IB exam. So it's the international, they can bring international assessments and exams into their school because most of the funding basically comes from parents paying. Yeah. And that you've got to know as, you know, anything from about... Oh, you've got to look at the different schools to what it costs, but it's quite costly.
Yeah.
So you're looking at around about $17,000 a year for those schools, and then it's your extracurricular stuff as well. For those schools, a lot of people apply for scholarships to get place into those private schools.
Oh, so there are scholarships to get into private schools. Who sponsors the scholarship?
The school will say, so, you know, and these are especially for students that are doing well in a certain aspect of the education. So they might be great rugby players. They might be an amazing tennis player or a rower or music or art. Then you can say, okay, I've got something to offer the school.
Okay.
So there's an expectation at that school that you're doing really well every year, though. So all that. So that, those are different options.
Mm.
So all those options, as I said, are good options. It depends on
what
where you fit in that space.
It's good to know that there are quite a number of options.
I do want to say there's also Kura Kaupapa, and that's Maori immersion schools as well.
Yeah. So those ones, are they in the mainstream secondary
school? Some are. So like I know Auckland Girls Grammar School, for example, has their own Maori immersion part of the school as well.
So doesn't mean students learn in Te Reo? The language of instruction is Te Reo.
Is Te Reo.
So
that's what the immersion is. So
and NCA exam will be in Te Reo.
No, they'll be in English. But I think some subject areas you can actually some are.
They still do the normal English, maths, and all that. But then they
so all the requirements are still the same. It's just that it's full immersion.
So much, but I promise you, we'll just take one or two last questions and then we'll be done. We've covered such a lot, and we'll just talk about the last bit, and we might have touched on this.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of supportive networks are associated with New Zealand schools? I know we probably have mentioned some of this. For example, if a parent is unable to pay school fees, who do they go to? If a child needs some form of counseling, you know, how do they access those things? Yeah, so what other supportive system, you know, works with, the educational system in New Zealand generally?
So first of all, the payment of school fees. So I know from where I come from, school fees are compulsory and you pay it.
Okay. Yeah.
from New
Yeah, that's
Zealand.
From, you mean from South Africa?
Yeah, from South Africa. Yeah.
I get that. But would that be private schools back in South Africa?
They've got the C system. They've got a whole different system.
Okay.
So, we won't spend time on it.
Okay.
But over here, every public school, and that includes your special characters, whatever, it's a donation.
The word is donation. It's not really a school fees. Good to know.
It's not a school. So parents are encouraged to pay that because it really does help support the students and the materials. And it's really about the materials and activities in the school to be able to provide that. So that's the donation. So that's just the main donation that they ask for the school. I would suggest, again, having a relationship with the school, letting them understand your situation. It's not embarrassing. It is just what it is. So if financially you're not able to pay that donation, then just have that conversation instead of just not doing it. Okay. The other sorts of expenses you might have is like school camp is a very big part of
schools.
So especially your primary and intermediate school. So you will be having to pay extra for that. But if you're struggling with that again, it's having a conversation with your teacher and going, hey, how can I do this? I don't have enough camp gear for my child to, you know, go to camp. So how can we do this? Outside of that, there are so many amazing places the secondhand stores here in New Zealand are incredible.
Mm.
So going and sourcing that instead of getting new is helping us to be able to, especially going on to camps and things like that. But I think key, relationship with the school.
Mm.
And that understanding that, hey, I just can't pay this. Or they might have an extra a guest coming in and they've got to pay for that. So they ask for your student to pay towards that. Not very often will they remove the child from that activity.
Mm, yeah.
So they will try as much as possible to find a way
to support
that. So I think having that conversation so that the child is not missing out on a key curriculum activity. If it's something like going to going skiing, that's additional. And so, you know, that's something you have to consider whether they really need to go. Going on camp and stuff like that, it's a really rich part of a student's development
experience,
as a child and experience. So finding ways to get around that is really important. So that's the support in terms of money and financials. Most schools will have counsellors. So if your child is just going through some stuff, they will be able to access a counsellor in schools. A lot of schools have nurses on site.
Mm.
A lot of schools have social workers on site.
Okay.
And this range, remember I spoke to you about the range of schools, depending on where they are financially. So some will have a lot more support in those spaces than other schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm, good to know.
I know of some schools that focus on refugee communities. So they will have a support person there specifically for refugees. And oftentimes that sort of flows over into our migrant groups as well, where we can have some conversations where we're really stuck within the schools.
Mm.
So those support systems are there. Also, within the school, your year 12 students often take some leadership roles. So you've got your school leaders, as in your student leadership body, and you will have your next tier coming through. And those are to support the younger students.
Mm. Mm. Thank you.
So that's important to know that they do have those sort of systems.
Supporting network. Yeah. Thank you so much. Like I said, we've covered so much on this. Amanda is heaving a sigh of relief.
No, I've enjoyed the conversation.
It's a very rich conversation. And these are all the questions or some of the stuff that we, each individual, are there to struggle with. So the last part will be you. What are the sort of things, you know, last word that you want to say, your experience as a teacher in New Zealand and your experience as a migrant in New Zealand? Just wrap it up with, you know, like, like a final say for us, a final caution or things to remember for us as migrant families using the educational system in New Zealand?
I think personally for me that made my journey a little easier is that I had to step out of my comfort zone and ask for help. I don't come from a culture where you ask for help, you just do it.
By yourself.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So really it is stepping out and going and asking for help, going and creating these relationships. So those relationships with the people that are involved with your child's education is critical because it is a long journey. It's 13 years. Depending on where you're stepping into that, you need to be there and be proactive as a parent. Not only proactive in terms of the formal education and stuff like that, but there's a lot happening with our young people as they grow through school in terms of their relationships with their friends, with their peers, about settling in and how difficult that is for a student anyway. But as a migrant coming in, you've got those extra layers.
Yeah, I get it.
So making sure you have your eyes open and your ears open to what is happening with your young person within the school. As an educator in school, both in South Africa and here, I knew the parents that were involved with their children. And I knew those that were not. You can see it by how your child manages their schooling. And you're right, you've just used the word I'm saying, thrive, or just trying to
get
through
by.
You know, just getting through it. So I think that is important. Do you want your child to thrive or just survive? You don't want them to survive.
Yeah.
And just understanding that it is a system where your child can thrive in using the different parts of that system. There's so much opportunity there. So being involved.
And then on a final note, I will talk about the social dynamic in the New Zealand system, education system. And that, this is something as a migrant mother that I had to experience in a hard way.
Yeah.
And that social life is huge. The school, I mean, the kids, this is just between the kids. This has got nothing to do with the teachers. So when a child gets to school, the school will usually set them up with a supportive network, you know, and all that. But most times from my experience, the supportive networks may not, because they are also kids, you know, like your kids, they may not, you know, be able to provide the needed support your kids will need to settle down in the schools. So this is where we come in as parents. We need to check up on our children, ask them questions. How are you coping in school? How would you like me to support you? Would you like me to come in and ask, you know, for more support for you? Let's have conversation. Or just merely asking them about their day, you know. Merely asking them about their day will go a long way, you know, in being able to support them through the system. Let's not just dumb them. I'll use that phrase. Do not just dumb them in the New Zealand system. Don't just say, we're not paying much. Everything is sorted. So just go. Take your uniform. Take your lunch and off you go. No, we need to provide that emotional and social support for them until they're able to settle in and find their footing in the educational system. This is very, very important. Okay, I learned this the hard way. Today is not a day for that discussion. I learned it a hard way. We need to be there for them emotionally so that they can settle and they can actualize themselves. So we're going to wrap it up on this note. It's been a very extensive discussion. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you so much. You know, you have so much to say. We're glad that you could join us and we can have this conversation as part of the series of Now That We Are Here in New Zealand. Let's talk about the huge and the big things, you know, that faces us every day. And one of it is this issue of the New Zealand educational system, how it is different from the countries that most of us have migrated from, and how we can help our children and kids to settle in. Of course, we'll be having other parts of this series. So till we come your way again, it is bye from now, for now on Bold Women on the Move. Thank you. And thank you, Amanda, once again. Thank you so much. It was nice to have you. Yeah. Thank you and bye for now. Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episodes come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.